Testing, testing.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Only the world in sin and error pining to thee appeared, and the souls in this world a thrill of hope.
Good morning, Patriots. I hope you all are having a great day. Hopefully the audio is doing okay now. Hopefully you can hear, maybe the voice works better than the music. So let me know, give me the thumbs up. I hope that this is going to work. I don't know why it wasn't working before, but it at least I'm getting sound out now. Okay, I see a 5-5. Thank you so much, you guys. I hope you enjoy this today, because I think it's really so cool how the Lord knows the end from the beginning. It gives me so much confidence. I don't know, there's something about seeing the Bethlehem star, seeing the star sign of the Son of Man, that just helps me to know that the Lord has this. He has it all in control, that he has it all planned out, exactly how to set us free from these evil forces, and there's nothing that can stop it. So yes, okay, great. I'm so glad. I hope you really enjoy this today. Today I want to talk to you I want to share with you the research that I have done about the wise men and how in the world did they know about the Bethlehem star. We've heard about this all of our lives, and how did they know, and you know, the significance of that. And so I hope you really enjoy it. I hope it's something that you feel like you can share. And I apologize for the sound quality. Okay, great. Great. I'm so glad the sound quality is better. So anyway, y'all can pray that I can get some better sound engineers in here to help me to make all these things work. All right. So obviously we've heard about this all of our lives. And so the question is, how did these wise men from the east... how did they know about the Bethlehem star? How did they know to get on their camels and ride, you know, all this way? It took months to get there. When did they get there? What does the Bethlehem star look like? All of that. So just hang on tight. We're going to go and step by step through the process. Let's pray. Again, Lord, we thank you that you know the end from the beginning, that you have all of this planned out to rescue us from our enemies. Lord, I thank you that we are living in the day when we are, that when the exile is over, where we're going to see the destruction of our enemies, and that we will be set free, and we will skip like calves out of the stall, and all of humanity will be free. Thank you, Lord, that you have this all planned out for us, and even put the stars in the heavens like the Bethlehem star, so that we would be able to know that, and with great confidence, that you are in control. And we praise you and thank you that you are, Lord Jesus, you are the King of the world, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are the Lord, and that you will rule this world in righteousness and peace. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go. So this is our buddy Nebuchadnezzar. We have to start there because Nebuchadnezzar was the king of the world. At least he thought he was the earthly king of the world. And he ruled with an iron fist. He was telling everyone how it was going to be, and every nation in the world was under his rule, and they were vassal states, so to speak, and they were to give him the proceeds, and all this money, all this went to him, and he was in complete control over all of this world. Well, ended up, and I'm going to play a little clip for you from what happened when the people of Judah, when the kings of Judah who were there, basically the same thing as we've always learned, these puppet leaders did not do what Nebuchadnezzar told them to do. Yes, and so they got in big trouble, and it's not terribly so different from today. These puppet leaders are installed, and they better do what they're told, or it's going to be bad for them. Okay, so here's the little snippets. If you go on BibleGateway.com, I think it's a great way to do some, you know, research, and just kind of like I just searched the word Nebuchadnezzar. So here is in the book of 2 Kings. It says, in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, in his days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his vassal for 3 years. And then he turned and rebelled against him. There you go. So if you aren't familiar with that history, these were supposed to do whatever Nebuchadnezzar said, but they rebelled. And so then a little farther on, it says, at that time, the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against Jerusalem. The city was besieged. He says, no, nothing doing. Don't forget, I'm the king of the world. I run this place, and you can't stop me. Like, what does this have to do with the wise men? Okay, just hang on tight. We're gonna get there. So Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against the city as his servants were besieging it. And then Judah fell. Judah fell to Nebuchadnezzar. They took all the people to Babylon, 98% of the people over to Babylon. Now it came to pass in the 9th year of his reign, in the 10th month, on the 10th day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army came against Jerusalem and encamped against it, and they built a siege wall against it. And Anyway, so bottom line, they all ended up, hang on, let me turn some air on in here. So they ended up going to Babylon. Who is this? One of the ones is our buddy Daniel, the famous Daniel in the lion's den. He was hauled off to Babylon along with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They all went over to Babylon, right? So what, you know, and then actually Hezekiah, who was the king at that time, he ended up, you know, having his two sons killed, his Nebuchadnezzar killed his two sons, thinking he snuffed out the line of Judah because he was the royal line, not the Judah kings. And so that's what he said. And so Hezekiah lived out his days in the palace under the thumb of Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, but he didn't end up killing him. All right, so starting there. So then, this is the same Nebuchadnezzar who lost his mind. Do you remember that story? Nebuchadnezzar, sorry about that. I'm doing better, but I'm still not quite there. Nebuchadnezzar, again, thought he was the king of the world, and the Lord showed him otherwise. He literally lost his mind. I think it was 7 years that he was out in the wild, in like a wild animal with, you see the claws on his feet, on his hands, and just living out with the wild animals. But then, at one point later, the Lord restored him to his kingly authority. And the Lord, and actually Daniel had warned him about this because, you know, we won't have time to go into all this, but bottom line, he had warned him to really humble himself and recognize that he was not in control, that he was there basically as the puppet of the Lord. I mean, he was to do the Lord's will because the Lord is the one who's ultimately in control, and he didn't want to think that. He wanted to think that he was the one in control. He was the one who was over all things, and he learned otherwise. And that's exactly what Daniel had told him. He says, if you know, you'll be there in this situation until you recognize that the Lord is the one in control. You know, in my opinion, this is a picture of the New World Order, or really ultimately any of us, that we all have to bow the knee to the Lord. And the Bible says clearly that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is the Lord. And so even Babylon's king Nebuchadnezzar had to accept that, had to realize that, had to admit that. All right. So now fast forward to this day when he's restored as the king, and he has this dream. And so, again, as the king, he has all these wise men who were in these positions. And so when he has this dream, he expects these wise men, he's paying good money, he expects them to be able to answer whatever questions he has. And as king, if they do not, then it will be off with their heads. Okay. We're getting there. Okay, so hang on tight because it's going to really be cool. All right, so let's go. I want you to hear what the story is with Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and I'm going to try to save my voice. So check this out.
Chapter 2. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. His mind was troubled and even not sleeping. Schedule again, maybe
Okay, looks like the volume is not behaving. I don't know what's going on with that. But anyway, I'll try to read it to you guys. Okay, so basically he's calling. He's had this dream, just like you and I might have a dream that we're like, this, I feel like some. I had this dream and I don't remember exactly what it was, but he was troubled in his spirit. Well, this was the Lord. There's Bible verses that talk about that the Lord, you know, he raises up kings and he puts down kings. He speaks to kings in dreams. You know, he is in control. All right, so he said, I have had a dream. My spirit is anxious to know the dream. And then the Chaldean spoke to the king in Aramaic, O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream and we will give you the interpretation. But the problem is he can't remember exactly what the dream was. So now what are the wise men to do? They can't reach into his mind, can they, and figure out the dream. Now, just so happens that Daniel was not, our buddy Daniel, our great Daniel, was not in this initial meeting. So the king answered and said to the Chaldeans, my decision is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you shall be cut in pieces and your houses shall be made an ash heap. However, if you tell the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, tell me the dream and its interpretation. How about that? How about that for a king? He does not believe in playing at all, right? Okay, so now, can you hear? Please tell me you can hear me now. I'm so sorry, you guys. No sound at all. Don't tell me that. Tell me it's working. Oh, goodness gracious. Let's see if I can go back to hearing to look at this. I think it's. Okay, 5-5. All right, thank you. Now, I'm so glad that I can see you guys and you can let me know if something's not right. So that he's going to cut them to pieces. How terrifying would that be if you're right there in front of this king and this, you know, he has the power to do this. So they answered and said, let the king tell his servants the dream and we will give the interpretation. And the king answered, they're just panicking. They're panic stricken. This is what happens if you end up, you know, working for a tyrant. The king answered and said, or the New World Order, I know for certain that you would gain time. You're trying to gain time. You're trying to buy time because you see that my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me, there is only one decree for you, for you have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the time has changed. Therefore, tell me the dream and I shall know you can gain me its interpretation. If you see this, you see the spot they're in. The Chaldeans answered the king, there is not a man on earth who can tell the king's matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such things of any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. It's a difficult thing the king requests. There is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. Now, very interesting that they would say that because the Nebuchadnezzar had believed he was a god. And you're trying to tell him he's not a god. So, anyway, you know, I think this is actually before his episode where he went out in the wild. If somebody knows with the timing on that, whether it's before or after, let me know. All right. So now, for this reason, the king was angry. He was furious. He gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went out and they began killing the wise men. And they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them too. I mean, they weren't even going to give them a chance. So can you imagine? You're sitting there, you know, doing what you've been told to do, and all of a sudden someone's like, we're bringing you to the scaffold. Then with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree from the king so urgent? Then Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. And so Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his home and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, that is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, his companions, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. the Lord answered their prayers, and Daniel blessed the God of heaven. You know, of all the people in the Bible, Daniel's one of the ones that the Lord always said was, he was highly favored. And there's never one little peep of him not doing what was righteous in the Lord's sight. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might. You have now made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's demand." How about that? Imagine that the Lord put it in Daniel's heart what the king had dreamed. Oh, what a miracle. What a miracle. So really, the Lord is able. And he's doing this for his own purposes to set some things in motion. That's where we're going to get to the Bethlehem Star. Then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said to him, "Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me before the king and I will tell the interpretation. I'll tell the dream and the interpretation." Wow. That really separated out Daniel from the rest of the wise men. That he clearly was a wise man who had a special connection and relationship to the Lord. If you remember what I was just reading, that the wise men knew that it was, this could only be revealed by someone who's not a flesh, by the God who's a spirit, right? And so that this clearly made it known to everyone that Daniel had this special relationship with the Lord. The others, that the others didn't have. Okay. The other thing I wanted you to see is, to remember, is that during the time that Daniel was in Babylon, at first they had no respect for the Lord. And then over the time of Daniel's life, he eventually changed that society to being, like what Darius said, let everyone in the kingdom worship the God of Daniel. That's when he was delivered out of the lion's den. It took years, but it did happen. So, back to the story. Arioch quickly brought Daniel before the king and said to him, "Thus, I have found a man in the captives of Judah who will make known to the king the interpretation." King answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, "Are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation?" Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers cannot declare to the king. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these. As for you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while you were on your bed about what would come to pass after this, and he who reveals secrets has made known to you what will be. But as for me, this secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than anyone living, but for our sakes who make known the interpretation of the king, that you may know the thoughts of your heart." All right, so I just love this. Daniel is just it's amazing. What an amazing man. First of all, he's so courageous to say to the king, who again thought he was God. He literally did. He said, "There is a God in heaven." And so Daniel's already been put at risk. I want you to catch this. He had already been at terrible, terrible risk. The death sentence had been sent out for all the wise men to be killed. And so he's already in this terrible situation. And he, even in this situation, he puts himself even in kind of an even more jeopardy by basically telling the king that he is not God. Yeah. But Daniel was very brave, and he was respectful. He said, "But the Lord has revealed this to you, what is going to happen in the latter days." So now he explains to him the dream, which many of you have seen before. Before I read it, I'm going to show you this picture. This is it. This is this huge statue, and it's got various parts to it. And so we'll read as we go through each one of those, and you'll see what each of those represents. Okay. O King, while you were, you, O King, were watching, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. This image's head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You watched while a stone was cut without hands, which struck the image on its feet and of iron and clay and broke them into pieces. And then the iron, the clay, and the bronze, and the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. All right. Let me show you the picture. So let's just go one by one. Here is the image right here that he had seen, with all the parts of the head of gold, the arms and chest of silver, the bronze torso, then the two legs of iron, and then the clay and iron mixture feet. Okay, so here you see the head of gold. He's going to explain that that represents, that's basically what Nebuchadnezzar looked like. He was the head of gold. And then you've got the bronze, which is the Mede and the Persian Empire. And when you look at this, I want you to remember, these empires have come and gone. That's basically what this is about. The Lord was telling us about the history, the timeline of humanity. We would go from this huge empire that was controlling the world, that was so powerful, of the Babylonian Empire, then to the Medes and Persian Empire, then to the bronze one, which is the Greek Empire, which was strong, but it also failed. And then you have the iron legs, which I believe is the Roman Empire, and also the, which what many call is the Holy Roman Empire, where the Catholic Church was controlling the world, basically. I think that's what that's talking about. And then you've got the feet of clay and iron. And so I really think that's talking about what we're experiencing right now, which is this they're ruling through these 10 toes, these 10 kingdoms, these 10 groups all over the world through the New World Order. But they're splintered, they're fractured, they don't have this ability to rule with an iron fist like they did under Babylon or these other kingdoms, okay? So that's what's happening. And then this stone that's cut without human hands comes and crushes this entire thing, the entire system of evil, run by evil, not run by the Lord, run by tyrants, to oppressive tyrants to rule the people, is over. That whole system will be crushed. And so when you see people who are talking about, oh, well, this has already happened before, we've already had this, no, we've never had the rule of the tyrants completely crushed. If you remember what I just read, that it will be crushed to bits and blown away. That has never happened ever in the history of humanity. And what you are so blessed to live in this day, we're going to see this stone. We're part of this stone. This stone is Christ, really, but it's also, I really think it's the stone of destiny, crushing all of this. And we get to work alongside the Lord to bring the light of and the truth to humanity, to set us free. This truth will set us free. Okay, so yeah, there it goes, just crushing to bits. It's never happened before. Okay, so I thought that was a great series of pictures there to help us to really understand what's going on. So if anyone ever says, oh, well, we're in the little season. No, we're not. We've never had the moment where all the systems of the world, the tyranny has ever been broken down. And that's finally, praise the Lord, that's finally where we are. Yes. All right. So that, the next thing is, okay, so this is the same wise men that are the ancestors, not the ancestors, the next generations from Daniel were the ones who went and found the Bethlehem Star, and saw, and it came to Bethlehem and saw that the Lord Jesus was born. So these are the same group of wise men. Now, what happened after Daniel saved their hides? Let me back up. I think I missed reading one part to you. Okay, here it says in the end of this passage in Daniel chapter 2, this is the dream. Now we will tell you the interpretation. So first of all, he had to tell him the dream, what the dream was to begin with. And now he's going to tell the interpretation. Here's the interpretation of it before the king. You, O king, are king of kings. For the God of heaven has given you a kingdom and power and strength and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field and the birds of the heaven, he has given them into your hand and has made you ruler over them all. You are the head of gold. But after you shall another rise, another kingdom inferior to yours, the Mede and the Persian. Then another. This third kingdom of bronze, which we all believe, we always talk about the Bronze Age as being the Greek Empire, which shall rule over all the earth. And hello, that's the history. We know that. And everyone pretty much agrees with that. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron. Again, we talk about the Iron Kingdom is the Roman Empire. Inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything, like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others. Whereas you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay, the strength of iron as in crushing people. And that's, hello, COVID, anybody? We see how they have crushed everybody all over the world, as well as just fomenting all these wars. Just so you know, here we are on the 13th of December, and one of the big things that's going on is that we're going to, President Trump is ending these wars, and really it's all been, run by NATO and all of them, and they're saying, we're not doing that anymore. So this is happening. This is happening. This is not just another event, political event. This is the end of wars on the earth. This is the end of the tyranny. Now all this is getting broken to bits. And as the toes of the feet were partly iron and clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of this God, of these kings, of the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all the kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. This is the Hallelujah Chorus. This is the Hallelujah Chorus. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. This is where we are. This is where we are on the timeline of history. We're so, so blessed to see it. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the clay, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God of heaven has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. I love it. I love it. Great job, Daniel. Thank you, Lord, for doing that, for explaining that to him so that he could tell the king and save all the wise men from being slaughtered. So, just remember, this has never happened before. This is a promise the Lord gave. This is why I talk about this beautiful statue interpretation many times, because it really helps us to be sure that they're going to be crushed. It's going to come to an end. And the Lord Jesus will rule the earth. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. All right. Now, then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel. How wild is that? He fell on his face as if he was to worship Daniel, as if he was a god, and commanded that they should present an offering and incense to him. The king answered Daniel and said, "Truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret." He had the dream. He couldn't even remember what it was, but the Lord revealed it. to Daniel. And so when he's worshiping, he's not really worshiping Daniel. He's worshiping the God of Daniel. The king promoted Daniel, gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over the wise men of Babylon. Also, he petitioned the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the king, in the gate of the king. In other words, in this high position of authority. So I just love this. This was a huge moment when Daniel was raised to this position of authority, similar to Joseph being raised to this position of authority in Egypt. So now Daniel's in this position, and all the wise men. You notice here it says that he made him ruler over the province and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. So now he's in a position to say, listen, how did I know this? They're all, you know, on the edge of their seats because he has saved their hides. And where they're saying, how did you know? How could you understand this? How? And so they're very much respecting Daniel because they all owe him their lives. Now, later on, the Lord is going to give Daniel a vision, a prophecy about what's going to happen with the 70 times 7. Each of you knows about our Lord Jesus talking about, you know, forgiving 70 times 7. But where does that come from? It comes from this passage in Daniel chapter 9. And this is where Daniel was being, was in prayer. Again, as I've been talking about several times, and I talk about it in the book, The Golden Age. Let me see if I can not drop everything. But in this book that I just released, The Golden Age, where I talk about how humanity has been in exile because our ancestors had fallen into Baal worship. And so we know that the exile is over. The exile is over and humanity is going to be set free. But in this book, I talk about that because we really, you know, we do read, actually, let me just super quick just take you to this passage in Isaiah 40. I'll take you to this real quick. And we do read this a lot of times at Christmas time. Comfort my people, say to you, says your God, speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, and she's received from the Lord's hand double blessing for her sins. In the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. We're talking about the exile, this time of servitude, this time of punishment, this time of correction is over, that her hard service has been completed, and that, you know, we've known that we were close, but this is where we are finally. All right, so now Daniel has been given this vision, but when he was in prayer, and he realizes that the 70 years which had been told that they would be in Babylon for 70 years, he knows that it's time for them to return to Judah. So he's in prayer, and Gabriel, the man he had seen in the earlier vision, came to him in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, a word went out, which I've come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. Now, I want you to hear what he said. I just think that's so beautiful that the Lord and all the holy angels know Daniel. They know what kind of man he is, that he is highly esteemed, highly respected amongst the angels because of his faith, because of his righteousness. And so, you know, how nice would it be if we are in that number where the angels say, yeah, this is a good person. This is a person who stands up for righteousness. This is a person who we can count on to fight the bad guys and to expose the truth. That's what we really, you know, want. You know, the world may not recognize, but, you know, it'd be nice if the angels recognized. Anyway, so he said that Daniel was highly, highly esteemed. So he said, I've got a vision for you. 70 sevens are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish the transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. So this is really where it came from, where the Lord Jesus was saying 70 times 7. And so, yes, it's about forgiveness and again and again and again forgiving. But it's about something bigger. It's about the Lord forgiving, about the Lord recognizing that this was a time of exile and a time of correction, not to destroy humanity, but to restore humanity. Huge, hugely important. And that this is when Jesus was talking about the 70 times 7, he was talking about that this was the exile was for a purpose, for a good purpose. And that's what this vision is really about. And this is not just about them returning to Jerusalem and to Judah, which is basically like the southern kingdom is called Judah and the capital city is Jerusalem. It's not about only about that. It's about something bigger, that the Lord is giving them a vision for the King of the world coming and being incarnate, coming into the world and being born. Daniel knew that. And so he told the wise men that, and that they would have to wait 7 generations. Okay, so when you think of a 70, it says 70 sevens. Think of it like for 7 times, there's going to be a 70. So what are you talking about, a 70? There is a beautiful picture. Let me see if I can do this real quick, if I can find this. These are the paths of the wandering stars, one of which that we're going to focus on is Jupiter. Jupiter is the Christ star. And so Jupiter does, and it's in its path, it does loops. And they all do loops, okay? And this is how Jupiter does its loops. And so to complete the exact loop, you know, after it goes around and around and around multiple times, and to come down back to the exact same position takes 70 years. Now, one of these loops takes just 42 weeks, then another 42 weeks, and another 42 weeks. But to come back to the exact, precise position in the heavens takes 70 years. And to be honest, sometimes it takes more than that. Sometimes it takes 84. Sometimes it takes 95. It really depends. And I think the reason the Lord set that up was because he was expecting us to watch. Remember how he said, if you will not watch, then I will come upon you in an hour that you don't know. And so he was expecting them to listen to Daniel, to learn, for the wise men to learn from Daniel, but then they were going to have to carry this on from generation to generation to generation. Even after Daniel was gone on to heaven, they were going to have to keep this in remembrance for 7 generations. Now, how hard is that going to be, right? We see even in America that it's been really, really hard for us to keep that understanding of, you know, of America and freedom and have it continue down from generation to generation to generation, right? Not an easy thing to do. But maybe for whatever reason, maybe they were able to stay together a little bit better and not have so much infiltration. I don't know. Either way, they clearly kept this understanding going for the 7 generations, because we know the Bible story that we hear every Christmas, that the wise men saw the star in the east, they came and they to worship him, and sure as the world, there was the Lord Jesus being born. So clearly they had this insider information. So I'm going to read to you a little bit more. 70 sevens are decreed, and it says, know and understand this, from the time the word goes out. Is this a little bit small? Let me make it a little bit bigger. From the time the word goes out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, of course, the Lord Jesus, the ruler, comes, there will be 7 sevens. and 62 sevens. Well, here's the interpretation, and I talk about this in, I've decoded this in the book, and I've looked and looked and looked. I didn't see anyone else who had done this. I don't know, maybe they have it. I just never saw it, but in all my research. But in this book, End Times and 1,000 Years of Peace, over on, let me just pull it up on Amazon. This was, I'll show you the link to that real quick. I'll share that in the comments, in the chat, and then Songbird will put it in the comments. Thank you, Songbird. All right, so here is, I'll just put this as the books. I'm not typing in the wrong spot. Come on, Melissa. Okay, bear with me real quick. I'm going to try to get this done right. No more mistakes. All right, so here is, again, in this book, I go into the 70 times 7. And it's a fulfilling a Jubilee year. I'm not going to go into that detail, but it's really important to understand the how this coincides with Jubilee years and how the Lord had promised that we would have Jubilee. All right, which is the debts canceled and the captives freed. That's the whole point of the exile, is to eventually have humanity set free from these demons. All right, so here is, as you see here, it says that there'll be a decree for them to go out to rebuild Jerusalem. Well, who is that about? That is about Nehemiah. Let me show you a picture of Nehemiah. There's a kind of a picture of him going back all the way from Babylon, all the way to Jerusalem, and rebuilding these walls that had been torn down for 70 years so that people could go back and live over there. It was time for them to go back, and they needed to have it where it was safe from the marauding bandits and from those who would want to destroy them. So that's what he went over and did, and Nehemiah did a great job. Now, why is it separating out this 7 years? I mean, read to you just real quick. Here's the decree in Nehemiah chapter 2. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought for him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before. So the king asked me, "Why does your face look so sad when you are not ill? There can be nothing but sadness of heart." Interesting. Nehemiah must have done a really good job, because if someone's copping an attitude and not doing what the king says, then he could easily just say, you know, off with your head, right? That's how they many times do. And so Nehemiah was afraid, but I said to the king, "May the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" Now Nehemiah knew also that it was time, much like we know that this is the time for the crushing of the New World Order, then all the tyrants, and the beginning of the kingdom of Christ on earth, the golden age. In that a similar way, Nehemiah knew that this was the day that it was time for them to return. And so the Lord has put him in this unique position before the king. And so he is saying, you know, "Yes, I'm sad because my homeland is destroyed." Now, again, this king is the king over that area too. So he has authority to send Nehemiah back. And that's exactly what he did. The king said, what is it you want? And I prayed to the God of heaven and I answered the king. I don't think he had a whole lot of time. You know, he was not expecting for the king to ask him such a question. What is it you want? Can you imagine? How about you're in front of President Trump and you're like, he says, "What do you want?" You're like, "Oh, what do I want?" he wasn't expecting that. And so he answered the king, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors are buried. I'm sorry, so I can rebuild it." That's what he wanted to do. And that's exactly what he did. And if you remember, the Lord had told the command, you know, and Nehemiah knew the word, and Ezra went over there too, and they were reading the word and studying the word and teaching the word to the people, and that this is what you do when you go for 49 years, and on the 50th year, if anyone is in debt, their debts are canceled, the captives are freed, and it's a do-over, it's a reset, it's a start over, okay? So that's why it separates out the 7 years. So Daniel's over there. He's rebuilding, as it says also in Nehemiah, you know, they're asking, you know, when is he coming back? He's like, you know, if it pleases the king, give me letters to the governors of the Trans-Euphrates so they'll provide me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah. And so they did, and you can read more about that right there in Nehemiah chapter 2. But Daniel says here there will be there will be seven sevens and 62 sevens. A seven is basically a jubilee. A seven is the seven sevens, which is 49 years, and the 50th year is a jubilee. So on that first seven, that first jubilee, guess who kept the jubilee? Guess who set the captives free? Guess who did what the Lord had commanded, which was to make sure all the captives are free, the debts are canceled? That would be Nehemiah. He did it. And he is separated out. That's why it's separated out of the seven and then the 62 sevens. You're like, why can't we just say 69? Why are we going through all this? And it's because he separated out Nehemiah, because Nehemiah did do the right thing. He kept the jubilee. But all these other years, they found some cockamamie excuse not to do it. I know, I'm going to get to the wise men. Just hang on tight. We're going to get there. Okay, so it'll be rebuilt with streets and a trench, but in times of trouble. After the 62 sevens, the anointed one will be put to death and will have nothing. So that's basically the portion of this prophecy I wanted you to see from Daniel chapter 9, that there would be, how would the wise men know when the clock starts ticking? And it would be when Nehemiah, or they didn't say Nehemiah, Daniel didn't know about Nehemiah, but somebody would be given the authority to go back to rebuild Jerusalem. So that's when the clock starts ticking. So we have two major points right here. One is you've got now that you know when Nehemiah is going back and when that seven starts, which is the first jubilee period, seven times 7 years, 49 years. That was the first one. But there would be 70 sets of seven. Okay, so you'd think, okay, well, then what we'll do is we'll just count, you know, however many years, you know, and then and just, you know, set our you know, phones or set our watches to set an alarm. And so we'll know. Well, it doesn't work that way exactly, because you've got to follow the beautiful signs in the heavens. And I had this open, and now it's not. Where did you go? Hang on real quick. I'm going to pull up Stellarium because I want you to see this app. It was open. It's not open now. All right, so here I'm going to open it again. Now, I'm going to show you kind of what happens in Stellarium with these loops. All right, so bear with me. I'm going to get this all set up again. It was working. Okay, so here, just you can follow me along if you want to see how this works. So here is what, when you open the Stellarium app, it looks like this. And then, okay, back up. Gotta make it a little bit easier to function here. Okay, bear with me. When you go in, you're going to want to make it a little bit smaller so you can actually see the whole thing. There we go. I want you to see the, choices I'm setting up. First of all, you set up the constellations, and you set up the names of the constellations and the images. That makes it a lot easier. Then you make sure everything is dark. You set, turn all of those off. Okay, then I'm going to make sure it's very, very important that we set up azimuthal mount right there, and that's going to make it much, much easier. Then over here on the left, we're going to do a search, and we're going to search for Jupiter. So there's our Jupiter right there in right now in Gemini, which is pretty cool. And so I'm going to move over just a little bit this so you can see this one. And then I'm going to put in the date, and we can put in this year, which I've searched and searched, but now I found it. So I'm going to just share it with you guys. It's about the year negative two. So if you put in to your Stellarium app, this is an online planetarium you can get download for free. Okay, so when you look at this, and I'm going to show you this negative nine. So this is, if you notice here on this date, is the day. This actually is 9/11 of the year negative two in this system, in their system. And so that is when Jupiter, the Christ star, is conjoining with Regulus, which is the regal star, the ruling star, regal as in, you know, ruling. And so if you notice, you know, it's on the Leo, which is the lion of the tribe of Judah. That is this constellation that represents the tribe of Judah. And so you see here, Regulus is, when they're conjoining, that is a conjoining of basically saying that this is the moment of his conception. A lot of people get this mixed up, but the conception is 9/11. That's why 9/11 is their emergency, because they say, you know, the Christ has come into the world, and that's an emergency situation. Okay, so the thing I want, before I show you any more of this, I wanted you to see that if you go back prior to this, so imagine you're one of the wise men, and you're looking at these stars. So let's just say we're back at negative 95. And so I'm gonna do something pretty cool here. When you can do this search, let's see, not the search. I'll do the star signs in the SSO. You can choose that and say I want to show the trails. So I'm gonna show you the trails. Bear with me of Jupiter, and let's see if I can get that off the screen. All right, so let me see if it's gonna do it for us. Yeah, okay. Nope, it's not. What did I do wrong? I've got too many things on the screen here. So here is the star, Folklore. Okay. Bear with me. I'm going to get this set up for you. Show the trails. Okay, then I have to do, maybe at that point, then I have to search for Jupiter. Okay, maybe that's going to do it for us. All right. Okay. All right, come on, Melissa. Do not try this at home. Okay. Now let's see if it's going to show the trails now. Yes, now it's showing the trails. So you see here this image of Jupiter and the trails. This is 95 years before our Lord Jesus was born, around that period of time. So it's going on its path in the heavens. As I was saying before, you're going to have a 70. Well, as I said before, sometimes for it to complete that exact precision path, sometimes it takes 70 years, sometimes it takes 84 years, sometimes it takes 95 years. And that's why it was imperative that the wise men follow this very, very carefully. All right, so you can see here, I'll just go up and make it go a little bit faster. Okay, so there it's doing this loop right there. And so you'll see it's continuing, it's going to continue on. But I want you to see, I'm going to back it up a little bit. I'm going to go back to where it's doing a loop right here around Regulus. So it did one right there. You see that? It's doing a loop right there around Regulus, as if it's crowning Regulus. Now, this is what the wise men, I believe, were watching for, the crowning of Regulus over seven generations, and they would follow this year after year after year. Now I'm going to just take you to actually in around that 84 year, 85. Let me see. You'll see that. Go back to that, and you'll see. Okay, you'll see that that's 85, 96. That's not it. That's a long time away. All right, so you'll see that it does the same thing. Bear with me, I have to find it again. All right, you'll see it does a, okay, I'm on the wrong one. Hang on, I've got to go back. Sorry about this. This is where it's nice if we're going to redo this before I come on. All right, so you'll see here that it's going to do another loop, another crowning of, you see it does another crowning of Regulus. So that in this time, in the 84 years before and the 95 years before, it was two crownings. But it doesn't happen every time. So for example, I'll take you to the 70. Let's see if I can do it that way. Negative 70. So 70 years, remember, so it's called a 70. I know it's a little bit confusing, but that's just the way God set it up. All right, so if you look at Jupiter again, let me just search again, Jupiter. find him. Where are you? And so if you go back to, you go back here a little bit farther back, you'll see that it does not do a loop crowning of Regulus. Go back to a couple more loops, and you'll notice, see, it's doing this loop, and it does not do the crowning of Regulus. It's important. I know it's a lot. It's like, what is all this detail? This is what the wise men were tracking, and that's how they knew that it was when it was time or when it wasn't time to go, all right? But then they've been following. They knew they were getting close, like we know that we are close to the timeline of history when the New World Order is going to be crushed. In a similar way, they knew that this was close to the time when the king would be born into the world. Okay, but they knew that this was not the right time right here with this negative 73 year. It's because it did not do the crowning of Regulus. All right, so now let's fast forward to the year negative 2, which is, we know, I know the dates in Stellarium are not exact, but it's they knew that this was the moment in time. So let's go to, this is the crowning right here of, let's see, it starts, here we go, on basically 9/11, again, the danger zone, because the Christ is being born in negative 2. All right, so then we're going to fast forward, and very, very interesting that, I'm not going to go up day by day because it'll take us forever, but anyway, so it's, you see, it's doing this loop. This is exactly what the wise men saw. They saw this looping of Regulus. I think that when it was 9/11, they realized this is it. And that's when they got on their camels. And I don't know exactly how long it was going to take, but it's going to take a long time to get to Jerusalem. They're going to go to Jerusalem initially because they expect that the king would be born in the palace. Right? All right, so then we continue on, and it's doing this loop. You see it did its loop. And then if you notice here, Venus is trucking along right here. I'm going to zoom in a little bit on that. If you continue on, you'll see Venus is coming along right there at June 10th. And it continues on past Regulus. And then on right around the 14th, right around that day, is when basically this is from our standpoint, you see the conjoining of Venus and Jupiter, the two brightest stars in the heavens, and this is what appeared in the heavens for the wise men. But they'd been on this track to come to Jerusalem 4 months ahead of time. I hope that makes sense. Yeah, they figured out without computers. That is pretty amazing, Ghost Rider. I'm struggling even with the computer. All right, so I wanted you guys to see that it's really, really, really cool. And they had it all, precision mapped out. All right, so then let's fast forward to what's happening with the wise men when they are coming on their camels to Jerusalem. Okay, come on, little mouse. You can cooperate with me. Nope, I'm going to. All right, let's see, try this. This is actually Bethlehem right now. Today in Bethlehem, this is the first time they've lit the Christmas tree since the start of the Gaza war. Bethlehem is actually on the West Bank. It's not actually on the Mediterranean side. It's on the bank with Jordan, but they've lit this Christmas tree. Check this out. I think it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Love that. They're all celebrating. Beautiful, beautiful. So exciting. I feel that just this is, as President Trump said, this is the first time this has ever happened in 3,000 years. And what he's talking about is the end of the exile. I'm sure that's what he's talking about. Okay, yay, it accepted my click, and here we go. All right, so now let's fast forward to what's going on when the wise men get to Jerusalem and they go to the palace, which was not that wise. I just got to say, that was not that wise of the wise men to go to the palace. So you've got Herod, and again, Herod is you know, long since they've already removed the good kings. They've already put these, you know, demon kings in these positions of authority long since. So Herod was one of the bad guys. A Khazarian mafia type person is now the king of Judah. And he has kind of the same attitude as, you know, those who's like, we don't have any respect for anyone except, you know, that we're in authority and everybody has to do what we say. So during the time of Herod, the Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and they asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and we have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. Where was, what is the, he didn't know the prophecies. And so they looked, you know, they looked it up, or they knew it already. They said in Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written in Micah chapter 5. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Now, you know, this is a little bitty town. Little bitty town. I'm going to show it to you on the map. this is what where Bethlehem is in proximity to Jerusalem. So you know where Jerusalem is. Here is the Garden Tomb, the Temple Mount, all up in this area. And then if you look a little farther down to the south is Bethlehem right here. And if you zoom in, now this is again the West Bank. It is not the people there have not had freedom for a long time. And I'm just very, very hopeful that this is the day when the West Bank and Gaza are going to be free. So that's what, you know, but they've had their land taken from them. Just, you know, they'll come in and mow down their home and gobble up their land. It's just, it's awful. And you can see when you zoom in, it's, you know, it's not an area that most people would want to live in because of, well, just for a variety of reasons. But and I'm sorry, it's not refreshing. Let me see if I can figure out how to get it to refresh. Yeah, there, now it's a little bit clearer. And so right, this whole area is Bethlehem in the West Bank, and one of the biggest issues there is that there are certain roads that the Palestinians can ride on. Those are the little junky roads, but then the Israelis are able to, or the Zionists rather, are able to ride on the other roads. So the good roads. So yeah, this has been a big problem. This very land, but this is exactly where the angels appeared in the heavens and said, you know, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So this is happening right here. So back in the day, the King Herod, this Khazarian mafia type, was told that the ruler of the world would be born in this little bitty town. Didn't have really a lot of respect back in the day either, but this is where the Lord Jesus would be born. And he will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. Now we know that it's not just one star. We know, as I was just showing you before, it's the conjunction of Venus and Jupiter and the crowning. And I don't know how much detail they gave to the king, but they had, you know, I'm sure they said likely something like, you know, we've been watching this for 7 generations. And here we are because we see that there was the crowning of Regulus, and now we're seeing that this is after, you know, we were told that it would be 770s, and a 70 is the exact precision completion of the orbit of Jupiter, and they knew that because they followed it very closely. All right. So then he said, okay, go ahead to Bethlehem. Go and search carefully for the child, because as soon as you find him, report it to me so I may go and worship him too. Clearly, that's not what the king at all wanted. Now, in the wise men's defense, they didn't have social media. They didn't have phones. They didn't have internet. They're coming from, you know, forever away. Months and months and months it took them to get there. And so they probably thought that this was going to be it would stand to reason. The king's son is going to be born in a palace. That makes sense to me. The last place on earth that you would think that the king of the world would be born is in this little town, in this no place town, in a stall. It's really shocking, but that's the way the Lord had it all planned, showing that he is clearly a man of the people. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. Now, the way it reads, it makes it look like, okay, well, this star just went right here and just sat right over the stall in Bethlehem. And so it's what it's saying is, let me show you what's happening. If you notice here, it's, you back up. So here they are coming out, just over a two-day period, they're coming out of the palace in Jerusalem, and basically Venus is pointing them in the direction as Venus goes along and says, go this way, and that's where the star takes them directly to, as it's pointing, that's what it's meaning, is it's pointing them to this, to Bethlehem, which they already knew it was Bethlehem, but from Micah chapter 5. All right. So when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. They were overjoyed. And that's right behind me. When they saw the star, what did it say? Yeah, when they saw the star, they rejoiced. They rejoiced. Similar to us, now that we've seen the star, and I'm not going to go into it right now, but this beautiful sign of the Son of Man, talking about the birthing of the kingdom of Christ on this earth, we've rejoiced. How many times have we rejoiced, you guys? Many, many times. We've rejoiced because we know this is the birthing of the kingdom. We are awake. This is the woman in labor that it talks about. If you're not familiar with that, you go on this book, which is the Major Clues from Minor Prophets. I go into the prophecies in Micah and also the all the prophecies in the Old Testament talking about the woman in labor. And that's that one right there where it's talking about this day and this beautiful star sign that would tell us about the birthing of the kingdom. I also have tons of videos over on melissaredpill.com. You can check out some of this other videos about that. All right, so they were overjoyed when they saw it was like a beautiful pointer saying, go that way, and you'll see this beautiful sign. And really, for someone who loves the stars, to see the conjunction of Venus and Jupiter is something spectacular, because Venus is bright and Jupiter is bright. It's very rare that they can join, and for them to know that they were right. That's why they're overjoyed, because they had waited seven, I'm gonna cry. They'd waited seven generations, and they had passed this down from generation to generation to generation, and that they'd fulfilled the role that the Lord had given them when Daniel had given them this prophecy, had explained this prophecy to them that he'd received from the Lord years before. And they had been faithful to keep this going for seven generations. And they were right. And then they saw the conjunction. This Venus, the star of love, and Jupiter, the Christ star. So that was, they were overjoyed. They were overjoyed. And that they were going to see the Christ, the one they've been waiting for all these years. And because, let's just be honest, they knew good and well, you do not want to have the world run by Nebuchadnezzar. You don't want to have the world run by these tyrants, because with just one fell swoop, they can say, we're going to cut you into pieces, right? They wanted a king like our Lord Jesus, who will rule in righteousness and establish peace on this earth. And that's where we are too. We feel the same way. That's why I have that sign up, not just at Christmas. I have that sign up in my, you've seen it how many times. I see that all the time. We rejoice when we see the star because we know that this is the day when our Lord Jesus will rule the earth in righteousness. Beautiful. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures and presented him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. They began to realize, okay, we thought he was going to be, you know, the king would be born in a palace, and now we realize this Herod dude is no bueno, and we've got to go another way and not let him know about, you know, what we have found out. Of course, he already knew that it was likely, you know, that that Christ was, the gig was up. The gig was up. Nobody was paying attention until the wise men came, and they let him know the king is born, and they knew it was going to be in Bethlehem. So we know that after that, the king sent these forces to kill all the babies. And of course, as you know, our Lord Jesus and Mary and Joseph escaped to Egypt. I will just say one quick thing because we've seen a lot of people saying, see, Jesus was an immigrant. Well, he went there as an immigrant legally, and he didn't stay. He, as soon as the coast was clear, he went back. So there you go. There's your answer for that. All right. I think that's it. And then, of course, I've been talking about on my channel, I've been talking about, this is another video I did back in 2023, and I go into some other detail about that. But on this one, I talk about this beautiful sign that could potentially be happening on Christmas Eve. It's basically when you see Venus standing in the sun, which is in Revelation 19. Venus right there, standing in the sun right on the 24th of December. I'm ready because that is a sign of, in Revelation 19, when it is to come and eat the flesh of kings. In other words, come and destroy this terrible, tyrannical system. Bring it crashing down. And so that would be the best Christmas present for the entire world, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be the best Christmas present ever? Okay, I think that's everything. I hope that that was good. I hope you enjoyed that. I just love this. I love it for so many reasons. I think mostly because the Lord has has told us, he has this plan from the beginning, and that nothing can stop it. And he's given us so many signs in the heavens. All right, so if you want to learn more about it, you can go to melissaredpill.com, and you can also get the books over on Amazon, and you can watch videos over on my channel also. All right, I guess it's time to go. I've taken too long, but that's okay. I think we had fun. It was good. So definitely share this with others who want to have a unique Christmas message. Let's pray. Thank you again, Lord. Thank you that you have put these signs in the heavens. Thank you, Lord, that you can speak to us and reveal. You're the revealer of secrets. Thank you, Lord, that you even gave this wicked king this amazing vision that we get to see even to this day, and have great confidence that this is the end of it. This is the end of the tyrants ruling the world. This is the day when you, our Lord Jesus, will rule the world in righteousness and peace and justice and truth. Thank you, Lord, that we're going to see this beautiful day. Thank you for all of the battalion. Thank you for all those that you have awakened. And just as sure as you have awakened us to share this truth, no doubt, just like the wise men rejoiced when they saw the star, we know with seeing this star in the heavens as well as seeing the awakening, this is it. This is it. And it was so wonderful for the wise men to see that you were born, Lord Jesus. But now we are going to get to see you rule the world. We cannot wait. And we see it. We see it happening even now. And so I thank you. I thank you that this is the promise. It's sure. It's more sure than the stars in the heavens. We thank you, Lord, for all your promises that are yea and amen. And just ask you to bless our wonderful president and all those who are fighting on the side of what's right, and that those who have been doing evil, those who have sided with the evil ones, that they will be exposed. We see more being exposed here even just this past week. Lord, expose them and bring them down. Bring this entire diseased, corrupt system down, crashing down. Nothing can stop what is coming. We pray all this in your wonderful name, King Jesus. Amen. All right, guys, I love you. I made it. This voice. Can you tell them I'm a lot better? And I'm so thankful for Prescribing Life. I'm so thankful for, you know, they're doing the detoxes and all that, because it really did a number. If you're not familiar with that, definitely go to my website and check out. I have the story about my heart situation and how to get truly well and not be not have all the toxins that they do to us. Really wild. Anyway, so definitely check into that. Tips for improving your health, tips for overcoming the toxic things that are all around us. And I'm very thankful for how the Lord has helped me to get well. Definitely, it's on freedomforce.live/health. All right, guys, I love you. If there's anything else, I'll be on the chat for just a little bit longer. And I guess that's it. I'm not even going to play this last thing, because I know the volume is not right. So I won't even play that. But I'll just jet out of here now. And I will see you tomorrow morning, Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Central. And I'll work on my audio. And I think that's it. I love you guys. And I will talk to you later.